We have the Commander-in-Chief of the Wisconsin National Guard here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin National Guard troops have collected more than 850,000 COVID test samples as part of state public health efforts to offer testing statewide. They have testing missions underway in more than half the counties in our state. What do you want to know about the National Guard's work across Wisconsin? Are you or a loved one in the Guard? What would you like to say about it? We're at 800-642-1234. Major General Paul Knapp is Adjutant General Commander of the 10,000 Soldiers and Airmen of the Wisconsin Army and Air National Guard. He also is a state senior Homeland Security Advisor and oversees Wisconsin Emergency Management. Major General Knapp, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on this beautiful November morning. A little brisk, but it's a beautiful day.
Well, your teams are collecting thousands upon thousands upon thousands of test samples. What has traffic been like at these testing sites that the Guard is running?
Well, Kate, it's been very busy. In fact, we've gone through a transition recently from being more of an outbreak-centric model with some major enduring sites in the larger cities to more of a regionalized statewide program. And so, for example, yesterday we had testing at over 40 sites across the state. We're using smaller teams because of the advances in technology and the expanded capacity for diagnosing those tests. So we've been able to get a lot broader coverage of the entire state since the COVID second wave has hit.
Well, take us to one of those 40 sites and explain the process, the back end of it, of what the Guard is doing at that time of collecting that COVID sample.
Right, great. And so what you'll do at the COVID test sites, the first thing that you'll do when you arrive at a COVID test site is you're going to get a handout, and it's going to tell you how to register online for Microsoft Dynamics product that's called DTRA. And I can't remember exactly what all of those letters stand for.
It's an acronym.
Yes. And it's Dynamic Test Result something. And so you'll get that. You'll sign up on the website. You can actually do it in advance before you go there, but there's usually enough time in line to put in your information. And that's one of the things that has greatly sped up our ability to test large amounts of numbers of people. That paperwork for the majority all the way through the summer we had to be done by hand. And so the accuracy is a lot better. And then once you have that, you'll get a barcode and you'll proceed through the line. And then that barcode or that QR code will get scanned, and it'll pull up your information. And the person scanning the barcode will confirm your birth date, maybe a couple other items of your information to make sure that you match up with the record and the information that you've put into the system. And then you'll proceed to the actual test area where you'll be given a swab. The swabs that we use, one of the things I always like to say, these are nasal swabs, not nasal pharyngeal swabs. The pharyngeal swabs are the ones that go way back in. These are just more like a Q-tip that just goes into your nostril. It does tickle a little bit. I've had it done a handful of times, but it's not as uncomfortable as some of the pharyngeal swabs.
That go all the way to your brain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard that. Yes. They scratch your brain. Right. Yeah. It's not, those aren't the tests that we're using, fortunately. And then that'll be it. And then you'll leave that initial sheet that you were given has some additional information. If you have symptoms and other things that you should do in terms of quarantine and isolation, if you have symptoms. And then there's also a website that you can go on to check your results. But the other cool thing about this electronic system that the state has developed is that it also does the notification. So on the back end, you'll get notified through this system. We've also started to import directly into MyChart for your medical records. And so that
MyChart being a UW Health record.
Yes. And it's not just UW Health. It actually is across the majority of the health systems in the state. Use MyChart.
Okay.
So I don't know all of the numbers offhand. But then that will, there'll be an entry in my chart. That information will all be given to you on that handout. And then we get a read receipt from the DTRA notification. So what that does is it cuts down on the having to our call center volume. So our call center, which is also staffed by the National Guard, then won't have to call you because we'll know that you've already received your results, positive or negative.
Oh, so there is a lot of efficiencies you're talking about there. And you mentioned that you're having to be able to do smaller teams. Is that because this process is becoming more streamlined, the testing?
Yes. We're able to do with a 7 to 10 person team what we would use approximately 30 people for throughout the majority or the first part of COVID all the way through late summer. So it's been a great efficiency, and it's allowed us to get that statewide coverage so we can get out there. We have right now over 70 sites that we return to periodically, and each site has a different schedule based on demand in those areas of the state. But like I said, just yesterday we were at over 40 sites and we did almost 10,000 tests just yesterday.
Wow. Wow. You know, more about the call centers here. You have approximately 30 guardsmen who are working at call centers. What is that role?
So the call center, for those folks that we don't get any confirmation that they have received their results, or if for some reason they didn't have an email or a way to get a hold of them when we first got a hold of them and all they had was a phone number, then we call them to give them the results. So personally call them. So for folks out there, if you get a test from a wing center and you get a call from a 608 number, we highly recommend that you answer it if it's in that time period where you're waiting for a call. Because what they'll do is they'll leave a message. They'll actually call back two times and leave a message with a phone number that you can call then to get your results if for some reason you didn't connect on those phone calls.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Major General Paul Knapp, commands the Wisconsin National Guard. He's also the state's Homeland Security Advisor. We're discussing the Guard missions in Wisconsin amid COVID. When was the last time you were tested for COVID? Did you go to a community site? What was the process like? Did you get a barcode? How did that work? Were you okay with the technology involved from start to finish? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Major General, hospitals are maxed out. They're very taxed. Staffing is the issue. Are your troops serving in medical staff hospital capacity at this point?
No, we are not. We did some initial staffing with CNAs, Certified Nursing Assistant Qualified Folks, originally early on in the pandemic. But as of right now, the majority of our staffing support for the state, for those systems that are running low, is coming, is being done through staffing agencies, and we're being assisted by FEMA with that.
Last week, a number of government leaders in Milwaukee County sent a letter to the governor asking for funding to continue testing sites. As we approach December, what will happen to community testing sites that don't have the funding?
Great, Kate. Thanks for asking that. That's a topic that's coming up. You know, we've gone through this before. So our folks that are doing the testing are on Title 32 federal orders. So what that means is the orders are paid for by the federal government, but the soldiers and airmen still remain under the control of the state, Governor Evers and myself. And so we want to continue that. Governor Evers has requested that. It has to come from the White House. It's a White House presidential memorandum that authorizes that. But right now that expires on December 31st. And we have to back that up a couple weeks to give our folks to wind the mission down. But what we're doing is we're not planning on winding the mission down. Our backup is to go on to state active duty, mm-hmm. Which basically is state-funded use of the same soldiers and airmen after that mid-December point. So we're not going to reduce our testing capacity or capability, but we will be potentially changing the type of orders that we're on. The other thing I want to mention is that it is the aside from having the federal government pay for the vast majority of those resources on the Title 32, our soldiers and airmen have a lot more protections and benefits on Title 32 orders than they do on state active duty orders. And the one example that comes to mind is insurance. Mm-hmm. On Title 32, they're covered by TRICARE insurance, but on state active duty, any injuries that they would sustain would be covered by workers' compensation.
As you mentioned, Title 32 has the Guard under a governor's command, your command, but the federal government funds the Guard, helps ease that financial burden on states where troops are working. How many jobs currently are supported under the Title 32 status in our state?
Under Title 32 right now, we have nearly 500. I don't have the exact number. It fluctuates day to day depending on we're always bringing people on and taking people off orders to try and accommodate some of the things going on in their personal lives, like college students. We have a lot of college students. We have a lot of folks. And as you know, being citizen soldiers and airmen, the majority of the folks that are doing this right now have left their civilian careers and professions to come and do this. So one of the things I'm adamant about is making sure that we monitor those soldiers and airmen to make sure that if they do have hardships related to being away from home and away from their civilian lives, that we can try and rotate them out with another volunteer that can take their place.
Talking with the Commander-in-Chief of the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Paul Knapp. Are Guard members in your community keeping COVID testing open and running? How is it going? Is a loved one in the Guard? Have they been called up? What is their role? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Major General Knapp here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the head of the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Paul Knapp. He's also the state's senior homeland security advisor and oversees Wisconsin emergency management. We're discussing the role of the Guard in this COVID health crisis, taking your questions and calls about the National Guard, 800-642-1234. We were talking there about Title 32 before the break. Is there enough funding under Title 32 status to carry out the COVID testing mission in Wisconsin? If you need to call up more troops to staff COVID sites, do you find that you have the headroom, the flexibility to do that?
Yes, we definitely do. We've got a lot of volunteers, and we definitely have the force structure to do it. The caution for me right now is because 2020 has been such a milestone year for Guard mobilizations, I'm concerned about the operations tempo for the soldiers and the airmen. I mentioned, soldier citizens and airmen. And this has just been such an unprecedented year. In fact, it's been the year of the Guard, and it's the biggest mobilization in history of the Wisconsin National Guard, dating all the way back to the 1830s when Wisconsin was still a territory.
Let's bring in Jess now in Milwaukee. Hi, Jess. What would you like to add?
Hi, good morning. I served in the Navy in the 80s, and I had nuclear biological chemical warfare training. What I don't understand is why the CDC recommendations don't match what I was trained to do during a bio or viral agent attack. And obviously, this might just be a simple pandemic if they don't want to look at it as an attack. But the point is, we're not being told things we should be told, like to shave and use the proper PPE, to hydrate properly, even just basics, boost your immune system. And none of this has come from CDC recommendations or any of the media hype concerning COVID.
Well, Jess, let's start with PPE. What are Guard members wearing? What are they donning at these COVID testing sites, Major General?
Yes, the PPE actually is another thing that has changed significantly since the beginning. Like Jess mentioned, we're trained in chem biohazard. And so we used a lot more PPE early on. But as we've come to understand the pandemic and COVID-19 a little bit better, we are putting where we are using N95 masks, gowns, and gloves at the actual collection sites. And that's been determined to be the appropriate level of protection for the service members.
Have you encountered Guard members testing positive due to their work at the COVID testing sites?
Well, interesting question. We have had Guard members test positive for sure, like all other populations out there. But we don't have very good data on exactly where they've contracted it. The majority of them can more easily be contracted, just like the civilian population, to activities outside of the COVID testing sites. In fact, I'm not aware of anyone who has a known contraction from a COVID testing site. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but it's not something that we have been able to directly correlate.
A listener sent us an email saying sites that do rapid tests suggest that if you have a positive result, you should go get a PCR test to confirm because they're more accurate. Does the state count that as two positive tests then when you look at the dashboard numbers?
You know, that's a great question. I'm going to say I do not think so, because everyone is tracked as an individual in the mm-hmm. system. And so it is true that if you get a rapid test and you test positive, like the UW system has just started using the BioNex now, I can't remember the exact name, rapid test. And then those that test positive would get a PCR test on site prior to leaving. I'm pretty certain that that would only be counted as one positive. The best place to get that info will be from DHS, the Department of Health Services.
So are Guard members facilitating PCR tests mostly at these community COVID testing sites?
Yes, that is the type of test that we offer at the testing sites. Potentially some of our outbreak sites may eventually go to the rapid tests as they're becoming more widely available, so that when we have an outbreak specifically in a congregate living facility or something like that, or maybe even a corrections situation where we could get in, get a really quick snapshot on positives so that we can better quarantine and isolate.
Talking with Paul Knapp, the state's Adjutant General in charge of Wisconsin National Guard members, we're getting an update on Guard missions in Wisconsin amid this health crisis. You can join in. Do you find COVID tests are running effectively? Have they been easily accessible to you? Where do you want to go to get testing? And is the Guard running that testing site? Join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. I want to switch gears here to Election Day. As we saw hundreds of members of the Wisconsin National Guard work as poll workers, others were on standby. Can you explain what happened in this mission in November?
Sure. In November, we had it was our fourth polling mission in support of the Wisconsin Election Commission. We had approximately 450 wing members that were mobilized across 53 counties. And what that did is it allowed us on state active duty to ensure that all of the polling places could open for this very important election.
So what were you able to glean from the past elections, the spring election especially, that you were able to bring over for your troops in November who did this mission? Were there some lessons learned?
Absolutely. You know, there's one thing that the military is great at, and that's after action reports. And so we have learned in each of the successive elections since the April 7th election, where in less than 72 hours, we had to have 2,400 Guard members mobilized to support in 71 of the 72 counties. So in terms of lessons learned, I think the biggest lesson learned was with COVID overall. And, you know, going from 2,400 in April down to 450 in November, my hat's off to all of the communities out there and the election officials, because they were able to recruit and train and plan for an election during COVID so much better than we were able to do in April. And so just by the fact that we only needed 450 wing members in November kind of speaks to the great job that WEC did across the state.
Switching to a vaccine, forthcoming vaccine. President Trump has touted the role of the military in distributing a COVID-19 vaccine. But even if federal troops do not end up handling the forthcoming vaccines, National Guard units may do so in many states, perhaps Wisconsin. Do you see a role for the Guard in vaccine logistics, vaccine delivery in Wisconsin?
So as of right now, we are in the planning stages along with DHS and a number of other state agencies to accept that vaccine into the state from that Army logistics distribution that you mentioned. The big active duty Army is going to get the vaccine out to the states, and then it's up to the states to get it actually to their citizens. So we are actively involved in the planning with DHS definitely being in the lead, but we're definitely willing, ready, and able to assist in any aspect that the state needs us.
You know, we talked about a number of missions here. This is a really busy time for the Wisconsin National Guard, being called up in many different capacities here. Can you withstand this for the long haul? Can you keep up with this pace?
Well, as I mentioned before, that's my number one concern as the commander is the resilience and well-being of the force, and we can. One of the things I think that's critical, though, is that from myself all the way down to the lowest supervisors and subordinate commanders is just taking care of our people and making sure that those folks that have hardships or that have particular needs for their family, whether that's to get off orders or to just take some leave. That's my number one priority for those soldiers and airmen, is just to make sure that we keep an eye on their well-being, because it's not just the soldiers and airmen. It's all the citizens of Wisconsin and the United States, and in fact, the world, you know, who have been impacted very hard by this pandemic. And the results have been very devastating for many families. And so I'm just trying to keep an eye on the soldiers and airmen and make sure that their well-being is considered.
Thank you for joining us and for your service.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Major General Paul Knapp commands the Wisconsin National Guard. Just ahead, we discuss the history and present day in hip-hop. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.